AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
Deborah Rodriguez. Online court records show the 22-year-old suspected of killing five people at an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs over the weekend will face murder and hate crimes charges. Mayor John Suthers.
His social media contacts are being scrubbed, and we're going to see what kinds of statements he's made to other people, what kind of evidence is found in his home that hopefully will enlighten us about motivations. But on the surface, it certainly has the trappings of a hate crime.
Anderson Lee Aldrich was arrested last year after his mother reported he threatened her with a homemade bomb. European teams competing at the World Cup in Qatar have dropped plans to wear One Love armbands in a show of support for the LGBTQ community. Peter Tatchell heads a human rights organization.
It was always a very small gesture, but even that was too much for FIFA.
Homosexuality is a crime in Qatar. A powerful earthquake has killed more than 160 people and injured hundreds in Indonesia.
The quake was felt as far away as the capital, Jakarta, 60 miles away. These people were evacuated after their office building began to shake. It was as if someone had pushed me, this woman says. Officials are warning of possible aftershocks and say the death toll could rise. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
Classes have been canceled today and tomorrow at Brandeis University in Massachusetts after one student was killed, two dozen were injured in a bus crash on the way home from a hockey game against Northeastern. Student Shoshana Solomon.
It's very hard, especially because we're such a small community here. It's everyone knows everyone, so I think everyone feels very personally affected.
No one has been charged. Airlines and regulators are pushing for a single pilot in passenger jet cockpits instead of two to lower costs and ease crew shortages. But American Airlines Captain Dennis Tager says it's just not safe.
We love the idea of the technology, but taking out another soul on that flight deck is taking away one of my deepest assets out there.
President Biden has spared a couple of turkeys from North Carolina ahead of Thanksgiving.
Before I gobble up too much time.
The South Lawn ceremony had the president fulfilling a tradition that goes back three quarters of a century.
I hereby part, yes.
Mr. Biden granted clemency to Chocolate and Chip, who will now spend their retirement on the campus of NC State.
When we told them they were joining the wolf pack, they got a little scared.
The president also joked the only red wave he'll see this season will be if his dog Commander knocks over some cranberry sauce. The German Shepherd could be heard barking from the Truman balcony.
He may go after the turkey, so I kept him up there.
This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible Black Friday sale prices from General Steel. That's right. Start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at Black Friday Savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The body found in a Portage County ditch on November 12th has been identified as Safandre Lindsay, age 41, of the Chicago area. The body was located along a portion of 110th Street North, south of Washington Avenue in the town of Grant. The circumstances around Safandre's death are still being investigated, and the cause of death has not yet been determined pending results of the autopsy, which was performed by the University of Wisconsin-Madison Department of Pathology. The DNR is reminding hunters to clean gear and equipment after hunting to keep the spread of invasive species from moving into other parts of the state. This includes cleaning ATVs and UTVs, as well as boots, outer equipment, and anything else that went into the woods while hunting. The Packers are off until Sunday night when they take on the Eagles on the road at 7:20 p.m. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 32 this afternoon under mainly clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 13. High temperatures reach up to 37. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with highs in the low 40s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and in Madison. I'm Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry, and we are still here talking about turkey, giving thanks and giving back here this Thanksgiving week. And so as we get in there, Jane, do you know the history of Wisconsin's first Thanksgiving?
I do not know the history.
Well, I had to look this up because I was very curious myself. I just assume everybody's Thanksgiving started with the Pilgrims and all that. But during the winter of Wisconsin in 1659, fur traders nearly starved to death. And as they wandered the frozen grounds of the North Woods, they struggled to find food. And they eventually resorted to eating their two dogs before finding exile with one of the Native American nations up there in the far north. And so while not exactly the feast that was enjoyed by the Pilgrims in the fall of 1621, well, let's just say those pups of theirs saved them from almost certain death.
Wow.
And so the Thanksgiving that we know today had nothing to do with the 1621 harvest celebration. It was, you know, that celebration was part of Puritan traditions of fasting and rejoicing for the fall. Well, here in Wisconsin, our official first Thanksgiving was declared in 1830. And that's when Governor Lewis Cass, then governor of the territory of Michigan in Wisconsin, it as that's what we were at the time.
Right.
You know, at that time, there was a proclamation issued setting aside the last Thursday in November for the celebration of Thanksgiving. And that's our history for the day.
That's fascinating.
It's, you know, what would it take for you to have to eat your dogs? I don't have any dogs, but I have two cats. It'd take an awful lot for me to make that decision on, do I live or do I eat the cats?
Well, you know, that was certainly a far different time.
This is true.
And not that they didn't have affection for their pets, but I think it was probably a much more utilitarian kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think all
And I've never been that hungry.
I've
been lucky enough to have never been that hungry.
That's right. I hope and I will pray that we will never have to be that hungry to have those conversations there, Jane. I tell you that much.
Definitely. But think about all the fur traders who really were saved by our native peoples.
Oh, absolutely.
And taught them how to survive and how to hunt and do all of these other things and just deal with the topography that they weren't used to.
You know, it's one of those, you know, here in 2022, if you just think about driving through the state, just even think about driving across southeastern Wisconsin, and now imagine that no car, horseback, wearing whatever
buckskin
that you had on your fur hat and maybe your badger pelts and whatever else you found and scrounged and were able to tan and get at the local fur trader shop. That's all you've got to go from, hey, there's no highway system that's going to take you from, you know, Waukesha to Beloit. It was horseback and whatever that train looked like. And that's not saying, hey, we need you to go north. Make your way to Ashwaubenon. See what happens.
Yeah. Good luck.
We take some things in this lifetime for granted sometimes, but we think about where we came from. And we are far, far from that.
Oh, absolutely. There are wonderful books especially around the Lake Superior area, about some of the early settlers there and some of the early traders there. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to Bayfield, they have an incredible museum. And again, some of the tools that they used, which were very rough tools for that time period. And they made cabins out of them and smokehouses. And it is remarkable when you think of the tenacity of these folks.
I tell you, you know, you talk about resilience and overcoming. We forget about, you know, modern day, we have wee energies. Hey, we need some heat. Go and turn the thermostat up or use your phone to move the Nest thermostat, you know, from wherever you're sitting or changing. I can change my thermostat from here in the studio all the way back home in Wauwatosa.
Isn't that crazy?
I said, but you had to make your fire. You had to find a way to get fire sometimes. And if the winter was that cold, good luck.
Yeah. You were, yeah. And if you didn't have neighbors, because I follow a lot of people on Twitter who are in Alaska, and I follow a lot of dog mushers on Twitter. And for a lot of those communities still to this day, they depend on their neighbors really seriously to come and shoot a wayward moose. Or, you know, I've last year a mushing team was out preparing for the Iditarod and got attacked by a moose.
Oh my gosh.
And it wasn't until someone was able to reach a neighbor of hers who came up with a shotgun that brought the animal down. So
oh my.
Yeah. You gotta look out for each other.
You've
especially
got to look
if you're isolated like that.
This indeed. And so we're gonna roll into the next topic here that I think is gonna be very fun. I think you might get a kick out of the chain because it's not turkey. And Brooke, you chime in on these too. This is Wisconsin's top 10 most Googled Thanksgiving recipes. And I think they'll shock you on some of these. A couple won't, but I think some of them will.
These are the top 10 Googled Wisconsin recipes.
Wisconsin only,
yes. For Turkey Day.
For Turkey Day.
Okay.
And so we'll start with number 10, Cherry Crisp.
Oh, yum.
I've never had that. Is that like apple or like cherry pie?
It probably, except it's probably got more of a streusel on top or something.
Okay.
But that sounds, every pie should be cherry.
Oh, my.
That's just my personal opinion. I'm a big cherry fan.
I've not had good cherry anything, so I typically pass on cherry anything.
Really?
Really.
You've never had a good cherry anything?
No.
Oh.
I kind of run from them because I'm much like the cranberries. I haven't had a good one, so I just assume they all taste like that.
And you've never had, like, oh, Philip, I got to make you this cherry thing.
Oh, I'll take it.
It's graham crackers on the bottom and then cherry pie filling and cream cheese with a little lemon and a little Cool Whip on top.
I mean, it sounds like it should be outstanding. I will try it. I will try anything once.
It's really good.
Brooke, how about yourself? Cherry pie, cherry crisp?
I've never had cherry crisp. That sounds really good, though. But I'm a big, like, apple pie person.
Okay.
Apple anything. Cinnamon apple anything. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
To die for. So good.
Okay. Well, you might like number 9, then. A taffy apple salad.
That sounds like the Snickers salad we talked about last time.
Ah, okay. So that's what folks in Wisconsin, that's the 9th most Googled Thanksgiving recipe.
I'm going to look that up quick. Because that sounds very much like Snickers salad.
I would probably, if someone told me they were bringing taffy apple salad to my get-together, I would probably take that over the Snickers salad because I'm like, you just stop by 7-Eleven or over at Quick Trip, grabbed a handful of discount Snickers, threw them in a bowl. That's what immediately came to mind when I heard the Snickers salad.
Yeah, oh, candy bar apple salad. So essentially, it is the same thing.
Okay.
And super easy, a little milk, some instant vanilla pudding, some whipped topping, apples, and Snickers.
All right.
You really can't screw it up.
Well, you know what? I may have to try that one as well. We'll go to number 8.
Okay.
Cranberry fluff.
No.
I only know about marshmallow fluff.
I think not.
I'm probably not going to touch the cranberry fluff.
I don't know. Yeah. See, since my friend made this cranberry relish when I was down to have dinner with him a couple of weeks ago, it was fantastic. It was life-altering.
Where is Matt Holbrook? We need him. Matt, I need to taste your cranberry relish in the fluff form.
I'm telling you, his cranberry relish will probably change your life.
It just might. You know what? I'm open to anything. I'm open to new experience. Number 7, broccoli cauliflower salad.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Brooke says no.
Hard no from Brooke. Is it the broccoli or the cauliflower or just both?
Both.
You don't do broccoli?
I like broccoli with cheese, but that just doesn't sound...
It's good for you, Brooke. It's a nice cruciferous salad.
Yeah, I guess.
She's not even remotely convinced, Philip.
How about you, Jane?
I have a cauliflower prejudice.
Okay.
When we were kids, and I'm the last of six, so she had a lot of people to feed three times a day. And once, and she always had a tough time getting us to eat vegetables, so she steamed the broccoli, and then she whipped it with milk, and she told us it was mashed potatoes.
Oh, my.
But now, for anyone who has ever had cooked cauliflower, it has a very specific odor. And we're all popping out the supposed mashed potatoes on her plate, and it's got lumps in it. And I'm like, Mom, there's something really wrong with here. There's something wrong with it. Just eat it. You know, it's just. But that kind of cured me of broccoli, even raw, with a lot of dip. Maybe raw with a lot of dip, I could probably handle it.
I could probably join you there. I don't dislike broccoli or cauliflower, but it's not going to be the first thing. There's many other things I would put on my plate before I touch that.
Yeah. Yeah, other things get priority.
That's right. Coming in at number six, pumpkin tort. That sounds pretty good. If that's like a fancy pumpkin pie.
See, these are, I don't know what's...
Do you not like pumpkin pie?
I didn't for a long time. But the past like 3 years, I've like forced myself to eat it because I want to be one of those people so bad that likes pumpkin. So while everyone's like enjoying it, I'd be like, but like my face is like so grossed out. But I'm trying.
It's those Gen Zer. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to force yourself to like it.
It just seems so like if someone's like, I'm going to have a slice of pumpkin something, that like, you are probably a good person, I feel like, if you eat pumpkin.
Oh my. And we're getting to number five here that I think is pretty close. Like you said, the Snicker apple salad.
Oh, there we go again.
I said, hey, that's what we're Googling here.
Yeah, it's so good and it's so easy and everybody likes it.
And it looks like number four is an imitation, but it says Pillsbury Crescent. So I guess here in Wisconsin, we're trying to recreate the Pillsbury Crescent roll from scratch.
Oh, I just buy the tube.
I'm all for the ease.
Yeah.
Some things are just better.
And sometimes I buy it just so I can pop it because it's fun.
Indeed. I there is a guilty pleasure of popping that little can open.
Yeah. And waiting for the doughboy to jump out.
That's right. Number three, beer cheese dip.
Yum.
Yep. So Gen Z is in the beer cheese dip.
And is that just two ingredients? That's probably just beer and cheese.
I've never made it. I don't know. I've had it from others and, you know, with pretzels and you know, things like that. It is really good.
I'm doing a quick search. Beer cheese dip. How to make. Spend pennies. Dark beers, light beers, non-alcoholic beers. Any kind of cheese. Melt butter, seasonings, and flour.
All right.
Pour in the beer, milk, and a little at a time, whisking after each addition. Once thick and bubbly, add the cheeses and stir until melted. I like these recipes because they're super simple.
You know, that sounds like kind of like a fondue recipe.
It does.
Because I was thinking like you. I was like, just 200 beer and cheese. All right. Block of cheese.
Well, the thing with, you got to have a roux. So it's butter and flour, and I've never been able to successfully pull that off.
Oh, my.
Have you made a roux? You're a chef.
Oh, yes. I have many. Yes. I do it fairly well.
Okay. You're going to have to show me how one of these days.
You know what? We'll get live on the air and we'll do it. We'll keep those things there. The beer cheese dip there, Brooke, do you like it just a little bit or a lot?
A lot.
I think you're a cheese fan, aren't you?
I am.
I've noticed, Jane. The young ones love cheese.
We're Wisconsinites, Philip.
This is true.
We're part cheddar.
Hey, we could be worse things.
No doubt.
So, well, as we're coming up on this next break here, we're going to take you out here. We're going to come back to our top two most Googled Wisconsin Thanksgiving recipes. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Teague's poster.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker. 844. You've already met him.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. 1 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Can't stay at home, can't stay at school. All right, and we are back. We're here, we're talking about some wonderful things, all things Thanksgiving. And we've been going over Wisconsin's top 10 most Googled Thanksgiving recipes. And I'm your host, Philip Morris, here for As Goes Wisconsin. I hope you're enjoying the show today. And as we get through this week, we're just going to continue to have fun. Give thanks, enjoy each other. And so I'm excited, these last two, Jane.
These are the top two most Googled recipes in Wisconsin.
That's right.
Okay.
Number two, pistachio fluff.
More with the fluff.
More with the fluff.
We like the fluff.
I guess Wisconsin loves the fluff.
It's a very Midwestern, like hot dish. I think fluff is a very Midwestern thing, like hot dishes are and casseroles are.
Okay.
It sounds very Minnesota to me.
I'll take a casserole over a fluff.
Over a fluff.
You know, because I feel like fluffs can just vary by person. I feel like everybody wants to add their spin to it. Oh, let's put some raisins in it. Oh, let's add this to it. And I'm not one of those. I'm like, I need something that was like intentional. Like, this was the recipe. This is what we were going for. We didn't just throw this together. And even if you did, I have to be guaranteed that it's going to at least look good and taste good.
Yeah. I think the whole reasoning behind the fluff is that it's a lighter sweet. So if people want something that's a little sweet instead of going for the pie and all that heavy stuff, it's just an easier way to have something light and fluffy.
I like it.
Yeah.
So it sounds like Brooke is a hard no on the pistachio fluff.
Pretty much down on the fluff overall.
Yeah.
We're going to put this on the billboard here. As you leave and exit Waukesha, Gen Z does not like the fluff. That may be the new political statement of the century.
No, they just need fluff with more substance.
There you go. More substance.
Yes.
And so here we're down to number one. And this one floors me, but then I learned a little bit more about it. Brownberry stuffing.
You mean brownberries, the mix?
That's what I was thinking. The mix, yeah. That is Googled 23 times more than any other recipe in Wisconsin.
Well, all you do is add water to
that. So that's what I thought. So I figured, let me go back. Maybe this goes back further. And so I'm thinking that brownberry brand, that's a Wisconsin brand, isn't it? Brownberry Bakery. If it's the same one that I'm thinking, that brand, that logo, I'm looking in my mind because I'm going in the grocery store and that little, the logo with brownberry, like the bread and the other stuff. If that's the same company, that Brownberry Bakery originated, I believe, back in Oconomowoc in the 40s.
Yes, you're right.
And so I wondered if there's some secret recipe that comes from way back when, before it became super commercial and ended up on the shelves, if people were making this for all this time.
That's a really interesting question, Philip. And I had no idea that Brownberry, yes, it was formed in Oconomowoc in 1946.
Look at that.
And best known for its wheat bread.
See, I tell you, you know, you learn these little things about where you live in the most random ways. And I only thought about that because I was actually seeing, I saw some advertisement on one of the business brokers, and it was brownberry roots. And I'm like, what is this? Is there that much bread we have to have a bread root? And I started thinking, like, is there a bread man like the milkman? Hey, every Tuesday at, you know, 10 a.m., I get milk dropped off along with this bread. And apparently back then, people did.
Yes, they absolutely did.
And so that is our most Googled Thanksgiving recipe in the state of Wisconsin. And so now I'm on a mission to go see if they're, and because as much as I don't like stuffing, because I make dressing, and there are two different.
Okay, what's the difference?
Oh my gosh.
What's the difference between stuffing and dressing?
And maybe it's a Southern thing, but stuffing is stuffing. It's basically just breadcrumbs and seasonings and that, add water, it fluffs up. Like your stovetop.
Okay.
That's stuffing.
All right.
Dressing has substance. Like dressing can be, it's an entire meal on its own. I'm talking from scratch. So cornbread or different kind of breads in there. You get or incorporate breadcrumbs. You know, I tell people, I said, if I cooked nothing else, you would survive Thanksgiving and have the best meal ever with just my stuffing. Because there's probably this year's dressing will have 4 pounds of turkey in it.
Oh my goodness.
I said it is a meal on its own.
Wow.
And I can't go through it. I've grown up this way. My grandmother's dressing recipe, there's nothing else that does not complete. It's the most complete thing that you're going to put on your plate to start everything else.
So you make dressing that already has turkey in it.
Oh yeah.
Do you use the giblets?
I do not. You know, see, I am not a giblet fan. Nobody's been able to successfully tell me exactly what the giblets are. You know,
they're internal organs.
They're internal organs, but I need a diagram of where these giblets came from to know what I'm eating. See, I think Brooke is on my page. Do you eat the giblets? That's a no.
Sometimes unknowingly.
Okay.
And then my dad would be like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Thanks for telling me after.
But that was always in my mother's dressing recipe. She mm-hmm. used the giblets.
I will, if someone asks me to make gravy, I will make giblet gravy and use that. I will set them to the side. They're mm-hmm. not going anywhere near the rest of the food.
Right.
Now, I have relatives that do all kinds of things with the giblets. I'm like, mm-mm. I don't want the giblet surprise. I don't want a giblet popping out of anything and just surprising me on my plate. I'm not having it.
Certainly not in its natural form.
No. I will not have that. But yes, you know, as we get down to this, Brooke, what are some of your favorites? Outside of those septums, does Gen Z, do you have a favorite? You guys coming at the time that you're growing up and coming of age, what is it that Gen Z favors for Thanksgiving?
See, I feel like what I have for Thanksgiving is different than all my other friends.
Okay.
Like my mom, she makes collard greens. Sometimes we don't have turkey. We have ham instead.
Okay.
Sometimes she makes like little chickens. They're so cute and yummy, but sorry, that's so bad.
Is it like a Cornish hen or something?
Yeah. It depends on how she's feeling that Thanksgiving. If she wants to make like a whole ham or like, cause those are just easier to make than like a whole turkey or a whole ham. She makes baked mac and cheese, which is so good.
That's right.
And then I have a couple family members that will bring chitlins, but I don't touch them or go near them.
And are chitlins that are along the giblet route?
Chitlins are the intestines, and they come in buckets. They come in buckets, and you have to clean them and clean them well. I'm not doing them.
Mm-mm.
The sheer smell alone when you buy them and bring them home, no, that's a hard pass for me.
Does the dish smell that way?
From what I've been told, if it's made properly, it doesn't. Lord. But if you've ever been in a house where somebody's made them, it'll make you're not going to try them unless you grew up eating them. And I have my family's 50-50. Some love them. Everybody else despises them.
Mm-hmm. There's no in between. You either love them or hate them. I've always hated them.
It sounds like lutefisk.
Very much. Very much. I'd say culturally, yes. I would agree, yes.
Yep, either you're all in or, yep, this is never happening.
No, never happening in my house. My kids don't have to worry about that one. I will torture them with vegetables, but not chitlins. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Game day. Green Bay and Minnesota. Place? The frozen tundra.
Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors: Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Puzzles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 Helpline to find an expert near you. Or go to WisCovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
We're all thankful for the many blessings we've received this past year. Relatives and friends from near and far will descend on our homes to eat the biggest meal of the year. Watch football and then eat some more. And what happens next? Well, we all know what happens next. That's why right now is a great time to get your holding tanks and septic systems pumped out for the holiday season ahead. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where our trucks smell like sweet cherry pie because the pumpkin pie is all gone.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community, because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The names of the individuals involved in a fatal vehicle accident on Friday, November 18th, in the village of Amherst Junction have been released. 58-year-old passenger Miguel Angel Hernandez Valdivia from Appleton died as a result of injuries sustained in the crash. The driver of the vehicle has been identified as Axel Cruz Zelaya, age 30, from Appleton. Cruz Zelaya was arrested for operating the vehicle without a valid driver's license, causing death. The three other uninjured passengers were 29-year-old Jorge Isaac, 47-year-old Luis Lopez, and 36-year-old Orlando Zelon, all from Appleton. The incident remains under investigation at this time to determine the cause and circumstances of the crash. The Wisconsin Badgers football team will play a bowl game for the 21st straight season after beating Nebraska on Saturday. Wisconsin hosts Minnesota to close out the regular season this week. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 32 this afternoon under mainly clear skies, northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 13. High temperatures reach up to 37. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with highs in the low 40s, chance for scattered showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
You know, our Thanksgiving season here. And so here's what I have found. First one, urgent alert. And if you could see their post, it's got the sirens around it.
Oh, everything's flashing.
Everything's flashing. This is urgent. Help. We are in need of someone to help us. ASAP. Big, bold letters. And then they go ahead and reply to themselves. We are in need of someone to help us put the printer cartridge into the printer. My mom is old. Can anyone help us?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. You know, sometimes those printer cartridges are hard to figure out.
I'm telling you, though, Philip, for people of a certain age in their 80s, because I am technologically challenged enough, and I do, I have a fancy cell phone and all that stuff, and but I can see where some people in their 70s and 80s are just going to be, what?
But what? But would you post it on Nextdoor? You took the time to go online to make the post.
Maybe they live in California and they have relatives who are here.
These are Wisconsinites.
Oh, these are Wisconsinites.
These are Wisconsinites. Oh, I do some sifting and searching to find to find the ones here that relate just the best to us.
Awesome.
As goes in Wisconsin. Next up, this is just from here on October 22nd. I found a can of beans. They are Bush's brand. Bush's best, to be exact. They were found on, I won't name the street, last night. If you lost a can of beans, please respond and tell me what kind, flavor they are, and you can come pick them up for me. I hope we can sit down and enjoy the beans. I really can't keep them. I have too many beans anyway.
That's someone who's just looking to amuse everyone.
You know, I sometimes I want to think that, but I really think some of these people are really serious. Like, people have, you know, I don't have a lot of free time in my day, let alone have time to post something like that, just even if I want to be funny. That's why I'm not on Twitter, because I would be like, I would get nothing else done. And then my favorite, because my name is in it, and hopefully they aren't talking about me, but this is from 3 days ago. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone except Phil.
Oh.
Every one of you. You know who you are, except Phil. Our wonderful neighbors. I'm happy to be part of this community. He can go.
Take that, Phil.
It's like, take that, Phil.
I
had to double check, make sure that wasn't my neighborhood. I don't run across too many Phils, but when I do, I have to really start thinking about things.
I don't think it's you.
I hope not. You know, I think I get along with my neighbors every now and again. Yeah, I might, you know, maybe one extra day or one extra morning before I pull the dumpsters back up. We've got a long driveway. And when it's slippery and snowing cold, last thing I want to do is go out there, and because I rarely put on shoes, is walk down my driveway barefoot to go fetch the recycling and the garbage.
Yeah, that's not the worst.
Not the worst. I try to be better.
Yeah, people can deal with that.
And now, on to my next one here. Ask a Gen Z. That means we get to hear from As Goes Wisconsin's own resident Gen Z, Brooke. How are you, Brooke?
I am well.
You are well.
Yes, I'm okay. Well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. I'm doing well. I'm going to put you on the spot here.
All right, let's do it.
Because this was big news. We talked about it a tiny bit in the very first hour. What do you think about Trump being back on Twitter? I know, it's loaded.
I think this is probably one of the worst things that could have happened besides him running for president again. Like, no one needs to hear his opinion ever again. Ever, like, and I wholeheartedly believe that. Like, I wish we could just zip his lips and just be quiet.
I could see that. But shouldn't we hear both sides of the story? We have to balance the yin and the yang.
I would say yes if it were anybody else.
Anybody else. Well, you heard it, folks. Gen Z has spoken here, at least for us. Jane, do you have thoughts?
I do have thoughts. For one thing, if he comes back to Twitter, he's got to admit the Truth Social, which is his version of Twitter, is a failure, because it is. So he's not big on accepting losses, in case anyone may have noticed that. Just over the last couple of years. So I have a really hard time believing that he is going to come back to Twitter and admit, however inadvertently, that Truth Social is a failure.
Is there a monetary value to Truth Social? Like, we know that Twitter has a value. It was just sold for major money.
Oh, Truth Social's got all kinds of issues.
It's got all
kinds of issues.
I was trying to think in my mind, is there a way that he would spin to say, this is a win. We did something great, and it made a lot of money, and we went to here, and that's what we did with our hair, and we're going to do these things, and we're going to talk about this.
But that's why,
the truth.
That's why he started it, because he thought he was going to make a bunch of money.
This is true.
And originally, from what I understand, it did quite well and then tanked shortly afterwards because some of the deal makers behind the scenes and the money people behind the scenes pulled out and this and that. And so it will be interesting going forward. Although I have to say, too, with all the amount that I am on Twitter, people were reposting stuff that he put on Truth Social anyway.
That's right.
It's almost impossible to get away from him.
I think you're right. I said some of these things that it's... At what point are you just doing too much to try to get away? It's there.
Yep.
Somebody, whether you like it or not, there's somebody that accepts it as their truth, and they're going to repost it, and they're going to have thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of other people reposting, and it's just going to continue and keep rolling that way. So it's like he never left.
I think the most disturbing thing about some of the changes at Twitter, though, are, you know, there are very serious ramifications about people spreading misinformation and encouraging violence and encouraging, you know, and it's really disheartening, especially with the shooting in Colorado Springs over the weekend, to see some of the responses that people have to tragedies like this. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be optimistic about humanity, and then days like that happen and I'm not so optimistic.
That I can see. You know, as optimistic as I always am, or try to be, you kind of have to hold it with a grain of salt there.
Yeah, it's disappointing. And you just wish people would be better.
I would agree. And that's at the base of thing, and I think Gen Z's teaching us that, is that be better, do better, take the time, and if you're wrong, you're wrong, but try to be better.
And admit you're wrong.
But, well, I can't. I'm a millennial. I can't say that. I said, but those Gen Z's, I'm trying to learn from them. Yes. So my next one in here for you, Brooke, is we talked about Thanksgiving a little bit here, and we talked about Gen Z. Is there a such thing as, in your world, or that you know of, a digital Thanksgiving?
That sounds like my nightmare. I need, like, to be in the same room as people. Like, I really need social interaction in the way of, like, if I want to give you a hug or hold your hand. Like, it feels very different, like, through a screen. Which I feel like that's weird coming from someone that's a part of Gen Z, but
I could see that. I was reading an article from The Takeout, and they were talking about the differences, you know, going forward, that Gen Z is doing Thanksgiving differently. And I thought that was just fascinating, because more of them are just opting for different ways. Jane, more pizza from the younger generation gets ordered. They don't see the need to spend so much money on, what is turkey? $1.89, $2.99, $3 a pound?
It's still relatively inexpensive.
Inexpensive, but it's not expensive as a large pepperoni or large cheese, two of them.
And they're made.
And they're already done.
And they're already done for you.
That's right.
It's a matter of wanting to put in the work to prepare this meal. About time. And I think they prioritize their time differently.
That's right.
Right, Brooke?
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, that was one of the things in the article. It talked about their Gen Z's approach to Thanksgiving. It's bring on the pizza and the potluck and bring on the friends. We want to spend that time. We don't want to spend all the time, you know, going through all this stuff and having to do all the things that come with it that are just time consuming, when they say, there's a better way. Why are we doing all this? Because, and I think about it now, I'm like, the amount of time that I'll spend from this past weekend through Thursday,
yeah,
and probably into Friday, I could have been doing a whole lot of other things. We could have been just subtracting time to go and do something else, other than spending time to prep, cook, clean dishes, probably clean again. And if you're going to eat, you got to clean again.
Do any of your kids help you with cooking?
They try. They're still kind of young. They want to. They are eager to try.
Okay.
But the attention span is not there for an entire thing. So if I can get them to, you know, wash the greens, you know, my daughter will, she'll chime in to want to do that. Or they'll start, if we're baking, mixing. Okay, I dump this into the mixer. All right, I'm done. Back to
back to Bluey,
and TV and whatever else, and I'm left abandoned in the kitchen all over again.
But that's a good way to get them started.
That's right.
And I would think too, Brooke, if Gen Z started cooking together, maybe, mm-hmm, and made that part of your time together, then yeah, you would be more inclined to, as opposed to just having one person in the kitchen all the time.
Yeah, and well, like, out of all my friends, like, even this past weekend, like, when we're all together, I'm the only one that cooks, but I enjoy cooking. Mm. Everyone else, like, we can go out, and I'm like, oh, I can make this. Like, I'm always the one cooking. And my friends will help, but even my roommate now, she's going to hate me for saying this. She was like, I haven't had this many, like, home-cooked meals since I've, like, lived with my mom. Because I'm just constantly, I just enjoy it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. So, I'm curious. So, outside of, like, the traditional Thanksgiving dinner, Are Gen Z, are they more acclimated to, like, the Friendsgiving, more casual, yeah, on the go, and mm-hmm, we're just here?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we do, like, my close-knit group of friends is we'll go to each of our parents' houses together. Mm-hmm. It's like we're like a little family because none of us are married or have kids. So it's like we, like, bring our little family, and then we go to my mom's and then my other friend's mom's. And then a couple days after that, we'll do Friendsgiving, and we just bring all of our parents' leftovers.
I mean, that sounds like a plan there. I guess we're doing it all wrong, Jane.
Seriously, I think you're onto something there.
Well, I can just kind of, that's better than a progressive dinner. You've done all the work. I get to show up, and then I'm going to take some of it back with me.
Yes.
And I'm going to do this again three or four more times. You know what? This reminds me of, I always joke, I said it was when we were, before we had kids, it was always the single friend that wasn't going home, but was just going to kind of beep up around and pop into all the couples, you know, dinners. And that's exactly what they did. They might have been ahead of their time.
Yes. They had their meals taken care of for the next week.
I like it. So is there anything that Gen Z likes? Are there Thanksgiving or holiday traditions that you hold true that you think will stay or spread amongst your friends and kind of peer group?
I think Friendsgiving, because I think, like, most people that I know that are my age, they have their own Friendsgiving with their close friends. I think that's something that, like, because, you know, usually you get older, you get married, you have kids, and then you just kind of combine them. I think we'll always have our own separate, like, even if I'm married one day and have kids, I don't know about that part, but I think I'd still be like, okay, the adults are going to go drink a lot of wine and have our own little Friendsgiving. I think that that's a tradition that a lot of Gen Zers will continue to do.
And what day is Friendsgiving?
It's usually after, so we can bring leftovers, but sometimes before, but usually aim for after. So it could be like the first week of December, whenever everyone's available, you just find a day after and then...
So it's not like actually on the calendar, there is no set Friendsgiving.
It's usually like a text of like, when should we have Friendsgiving?
Okay.
I like it.
That's good to know.
I like every bit. I will tell you, I said, I'm not huge on, I am. I've tried to partake into all the social media. TikTok, I'm kind of just a voyeur. I like seeing the things. I think I've made one or two posts. You know, I did something with my son. But to see the TikTok Friendsgiving things, like when you search that, there's creativity like you wouldn't believe. Like, and it just blows you away. You're just like, wow, I would have never thought to do that. Like the fun that they have. Like we just talked with our guests earlier, and we talked to Jane about it on some of the things that we're used to, these traditions from yesteryear. These things that we kind of inherited, whether it was spoons or playing cribbage or all these things. But these Gen Z, they've come up with their own things that are, I think a lot of people in older generations are now seeing some of this stuff like, you know what, we want to do that too. That looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's always, my mom always, like, when I tell her I'm doing this, she's like, what are you guys going to drink or eat? Is it just going to be wine the whole time? And we're like, yes, and it's probably $5 a bottle because it's all we can afford.
Oh, my. Well, that's a different story there. We got to get those wages up so we can make sure these Gen Zs can afford more than a $5 bottle of wine.
At least a $7 bottle of wine. Come on.
You know, I'm going to start my own Ignite the Spirit. It's going to be a different kind. Sorry, Joe. But we're going to ignite the spirits of the young ones with some non-$5 wine. We're going to take donations there to get them better wine and spirits.
And what about games, Brooke? Do you guys play games or do you just hang out and chill?
Sometimes. We play spoons. There was this game we used to play called Mafia. That's a really fun one. We tried to get our parents to do it, and they just were really bad at it. So we kind of retired that one. It's basically just like everyone gets a card. Certain numbers or letters mean you're a mafia member or you're a citizen. And then secretly two mafia members will kill off one of the someone in the group, and you have to figure out who killed you. And there's like a bunch of other characters. But our parents were so bad at it. They kept saying who they were. And I was like, what is going on here? So we just gave up on that.
So kind of like a murder mystery, kind of whodunit type thing.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
I like that a lot. So, well, we're going to go out to the break here. You were listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Call in, text anytime, 844-967-2789. You're listening to the Civic Media Network.
And I just can't imagine how you could be so okay now that I'm gone. Because you didn't mean what you wrote in that.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Guess mine's not the first. And we're back here in our final moments here as we come to the toward the end and the close of our show here on this Monday. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry. And let me tell you how much fun I have had last week on Friday and today. Kristen, I know you're on some sandy beach somewhere, hopefully, enjoying your last few days before you get back here to cooler Wisconsin. It's not ice cold. It is cold outside. But then again, I'm probably the worst judge of it. I've spent a lot of time here with Jane and with Brooke. And these guests we've had just a blast.
It's been so much fun, Philip. Thank you so much.
I'm gonna come and set up shop in here. I'm just gonna follow you guys around. I'm gonna be man on the street.
That'd be great.
Walking around in Waukesha in different parts of the state, talking about whatever. I'll chime in. I'll call them 30 minutes after the hour. I like it.
Hey, we do have some breaking news, actually, at this hour. About 2 weeks after the midterm election, the Republican candidate for Wisconsin's Secretary of State has conceded the race to longtime Democratic incumbent Doug LaFollette. A spokesman for State Rep. Amy Loudenbeck said she will not seek a recount in this race. Unofficial results show LaFollette won. This was really a squeaker by 7,660 votes out of more than 2.5 million cast.
Wow.
So that's a statistical nothing.
Yeah, that's close.
That's really close. But LaFollette had declared victory last Thursday. She did not concede at that point. But after today, she has officially conceded. So that is done for now.
You know, I think when it comes to, for me, it comes to, it's politics. It is what it is. I said, but I always think of that show or that movie from, I think it was the 80s or 90s, The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy. And he ran not on who he was, but the family name, the name that people knew. And not saying that this is the case, I said, but if you don't follow the issues, you don't follow the people, but you recognize the name, I said, that goes a long way on the ballot.
You cannot underestimate name recognition. You really can't. You cannot tell me that Herschel Walker would be in serious contention to be a U.S. senator without the name recognition that he has.
You know, that state of Georgia is an interesting state. And Herschel Walker is everything to Georgia, from those Georgia Bulldogs and everything from his time in past. But I tell you what, when it comes to this political arena, we got to make better decisions. As the Gen Z say, we got to do better.
Well, there had to be a better candidate than him. And I have all respect for what he did in his football career and all of that stuff, but he is just vastly unqualified.
I mean, some would say that maybe it's a fresh perspective. Is that what it is?
Some might say that.
Probably none here in Wisconsin.
I don't know that I would call it a fresh perspective. I could have a different term for that.
You know, when you win a Heisman Trophy, you learn different things and different skills, right?
Apparently. But again, just because you're a wonderful football player doesn't translate into being a wonderful senator. So
this is true.
It will be interesting then, and that election's going to be here and gone before we know it too, because that's December 6th.
That is correct. I hope everybody's paying attention out there. I said, you know, don't fall asleep on these when they have to go to these runoffs. I said, I think we're in a good place here in Wisconsin that we don't have to deal with the same state laws when it comes to elections that Georgia does.
when they get to a certain number and it's an automatic recount?
That's right. Because I think, you know, just human nature, people are like, I did my part then. And I think it's very easy to walk away and think it's like, okay, well, they've got it. There's enough there. All those same people, they'll show up again. And what they see, they show, they do not.
Yeah. Don't ever assume that.
That's right.
And don't forget, we have a big, big state Supreme Court election coming up in April.
That we do.
And those tend to get skimmed over a lot, too, for the general public. So, Brooke, putting this on you for your entire generation, again, no pressure at all.
No pressure.
They need to go out and vote state Supreme Court race this spring, because that could have just some major, major ramifications.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those where, you know, you have to have your head on a swivel in this political climate that we have, especially here in Wisconsin. And I look at, you know, I don't think I'm not going to say I'm apolitical. I said I try to follow the center and kind of use good common sense and live by as I say in my house, that I stole this from a good friend of mine, Adam Gabernet. Shout out to Adam over at Northwestern Mutual. Look good, feel good, and do good.
Oh,
those are the three pillars of our house. My three kids, they know that. That's when we leave the house every day. We talk about those things. But I think that when we talk about the country, we've forgotten how all three of them are important. Taking care of yourself, taking care of those around you, doing things that are good for not only yourself, and you'll feel better no matter what you do as you're looking out for the person, your friend and neighbor next door.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that's one of those ones where we really have to take that time. And Wisconsin is, whether we like it or not, it's no longer Iowa. And I don't know why it was Iowa all those years. I said, but Wisconsin is, it's all eyes on Wisconsin. What goes here, as goes Wisconsin, goes the rest of the Midwest, and really can really change the rest of the course of politics and history and humanity for the rest of the country.
And that's why so much money was spent here this last election.
Oh, that's right.
Tons of money.
I feel like we broke some records here on the money spent on some of these races.
Oh, several times over, I think.
Well, I tell you, I said, as we get in here, you know, don't forget that we're in the midterms, but April is going to be just as important. And that's from bottom to top, as we talk about it all the time in our side conversations. When you talk about it with your teacher friends, or you talk about it with your local school board, you're going to have small elections. School board elections are going to come up. You're going to have all kinds of things. Pay attention. These things will affect you. And if you don't think they're going to affect you now, I'm 40. So it's going to affect those that are 80. It's going to affect those who are these young kids coming in now. We just learned last week, these younger'uns, the Generation Alpha.
Yep.
I said, Gen Z is going to be those torchbearers there that passed on to Gen Alpha. We got to get it right for these next two generations.
All right. We got about a minute and a half left before we do. I found this sound this morning, Philip. You know, Buffalo just got smashed with 6 feet of snow over like a day and a half. And this is just a sound clip from a man being interviewed by a local TV reporter about how he's shoveled out.
All cleared up?
Pretty good, but I'm running out of beer, which is a problem, and weed. But that's my own fault. I should have stocked up ahead of time, honestly.
I give her so much credit for trying to come back with a reasonable question after he said that. He's just like, yeah, it's my fault, man. I didn't plan.
What more can you say? You know, I would have almost said that guy's definitely in Wisconsin, but you know what? Wisconsin and Buffalo probably have some similar feelings on how we treat our beer and shoveling and pushing snow.
There's no question about it.
So I'll tell you what. There's no question. You know, hopefully this winter we don't have to see those days that Buffalo's is seeing right now. But well, knock on wood, you never know what's going to happen. But what I can tell you is that, as goes Wisconsin, we'll continue to be out here in front, having fun, entertaining, educating, and teaching us all kinds of wonderful things. And I can't wait for Kristen to get back and bring back some new energy, some re-energize, some reinvigorated, sun-kissed thoughts and ideas with how she's able to disconnect and come back to the real world.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Philip. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you. And we're headed out. You're listening to Ask Us Wisconsin in Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison. Have a great Monday.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM. Stop.